having this sport, actually sticking to this sport, has also made me feel so stoked. And I feel like I've just learned so much, even like about myself through this sport as well. And the way we communicate with each other has seriously massively changed in the last 6 months.
And we can also like deal with each other when, like you say, for instance, we were once trying to record a video on the course and it was like play a hole with us, and I just did not play it well, and halfway through recording it I just went, "Mills, turn the cameras off now." Like, was just, I was so grumpy, did not want a bar of it.
Welcome to Golf Yourself Healthy, the community of golfers who are unified in their belief that golf is good for you. I'm your host, Chris Lynch. Join me and invited guests as we share stories around how golf is helping us to live happy, healthy, and fulfilled lives. If you'd like to join our community, why not follow us on your podcast platform of choice and be notified of new episodes as soon as they're released. Please also check out our back catalogue of previous podcast episodes and journal articles at golfyourselfhealthy.com. In this episode, we welcome Mills and Amelia from Swing Set Sport. With a growing online golf community, Mills and Amelia are on a mission with Swing Set to support and inspire current and future generations of female golfers to get access to and enjoy equality within the game of golf. They've recently launched their own merchandise line with the Fancy Nancy divot tool and ball marker named in honour of one of their golfing idols, Nancy Lopez. Beyond our conversation around diversity, equality and inclusion in golf, we had a powerful and insightful discussion about well-being, with both Mills and Amelia sharing their experiences of living with ADHD and how golf has helped them on that journey. We also chat about their love of music and debate what the soundtrack to their golf would be, as well as inviting none other than Taylor Swift to join them for a round of golf sometime. In particular, the central theme to this episode is that golf has an amazing power to bring people together, to deepen existing friendships and learn more about ourselves, both individually and collectively along the way. I find myself smiling and laughing from ear to ear in this conversation. Such is the infectious energy and enthusiasm the girls brought to the table. I hope you have just as much fun listening to the episode as we did in recording it for you. Without any further ado, let's tee off and jump into the conversation. Amelia and Mills, welcome to the Golf Yourself Healthy podcast. I should say Amelia and Amelia, but I'm so grateful and relieved that I have a nickname to go by for one of you, because if I didn't, that'll get me in all sorts of a muddle. But just out of curiosity, actually, does that ever, like, is that a real life first world problem that you guys have got going on? Like, kind of Amelia and both heads turned.
We love it. We kind of secretly love it. Only recently, Mills has been introducing herself as Mills to other people, and I get really frustrated with that. I'm like, no, I like having the whole Amelia drama, and everyone goes, no way. And so I've been a bit salty that she started calling herself Mills when she introduces herself. Amelia will drop in and be like, but her first name is also Amelia, just so we can get that one clued up.
Love it. Yeah. I love it. I do kind of relate to you. I relate to you both on quite a few levels, and that's why I'm so excited about this conversation. But just at one level, straight off the bat, is this whole justification of your name and pride in your name. Because as a Chris or a Christopher with a K and two Fs, I have spent my whole life justifying myself to people. Like, they're like, what, so it's not a CH and a TOPH, Christopher? Like, what kind of Christopher or Chris are you, you know? So, like, I kind of... I think I've just about got over that thing of going into a Starbucks or whatever these days. And they're like, can I get a name for the cup, please? Yeah. I'm like, it's Chris with a K.
My name starts with an E and Mills is with an A. And I don't think I've ever gone anywhere and not had to spell my name. So it's so wild when, like, Mills goes somewhere and she doesn't have to spell her name, but it's the same name. But I just assume it will always be spelled right.
We're wrong.
We always have these little tussles about who has the better spelling, the ultimate elite spelling.
Love it. Well, so before we get, there's so much that I'm looking forward to chatting with you both about in this conversation, but before anything else, let's get to know Amelia and Mills a little bit more. So tell us a little bit about yourselves.
All right. Well, we are the girls from Swing Set Sport, and we started a little Instagram page for our golf journey within the last 6 months, and it's been this absolutely amazing experience for both of us. And I'll let you talk about your start to golf. Yeah. And it's just been so, so cool getting to do this whole thing with Amelia. And
I think, I started golf a bit before Mills. And I remember the first time that I played golf was, well, apart from childhood, but like recent, I was with Mills. And we were there on the course just talking about how we wanted to like pick this up as our new hobby. And like we were so excited mainly about the cute outfits that we would be able to wear rather than the actual game of golf. And then I went through a breakup and I decided I needed a breakup hobby and thought, well, golf takes up a lot of time and a lot of energy and I won't have anything else to think about but golf. And that sounds pretty great to me because you're outdoors in nature as well, which is beautiful. And so I just kind of knew that and got really hooked and then brought Mills on along for the journey as well. And then being the hype girls that we are, we thought, well, we need to start an Instagram page
if we're loving this. Obviously everyone else will want to get around the girls and see what we've been up to. So that was kind of the best place for Swing Set Sport for us, just wanting to share our love for sport, golf, that just took up absolutely swept.
And it is funny because we get hooked on like a lot of different hobbies, but they only ever last for like 3 weeks. But golf has seemed to really it just is like this little itch that's always there. You just want to get back out there all the time. And it's made a big itch on us. We always just want to get out there and have a hit.
Lasted a lot longer than our bouldering careers.
Once we picked up bouldering, it didn't really last long.
Bouldering, did you see? Tell me more about that.
I think it was probably fresh out of lockdown. And we just picked up so many sports during this whole thing.
So bouldering is like rock climbing with no ropes.
Yeah.
I'm not that athletic, so I don't know what I was thinking picking that one up, because Mills is so like just nimble and able to get anywhere, where I'm like more lanky and long. And so it's just a bit more awkward.
Love it. Do you know the itch you were describing with golf? Relatable much again. Amelia, just building on what you said there. So like, why golf then? I mean, when you think about, you have this opportunity or this moment to pick something in that scenario that you described, there are obviously an abundance of options of sports and activities and stuff out there. But what do you think it was about golf particularly? I know you've talked about like being out in nature and things, but...
I think playing that game with Mills was one of the key moments because I really just enjoyed it. I think another thing is that I come from a very big golfing family. So my cousin is a professional golfer and now a PGA teacher in Wales, and so I've always kind of grown up around knowing about the sport and being intrigued by it. I think I used to like to boast about my cousin a lot, even though I haven't only met him only a handful of times. I thought it was so cool that I had this cousin or person in my family that was really good at golf, and Dad was also a great golfer, and so there was that family history that tied me into wanting to pick golf up. I also grew up as a dancer, so I'm terrible at any ball sports, wasn't allowed to play ball sports, and I figured golf would be pretty good because you hit the ball away from you, not towards you. So I thought that would be a good start in terms of sports. And then, just the getting out in nature and that it takes like a lot of practice. I wanted something that my mind, I could get consumed in, and I feel like just your grip on the golf club can change your swing so dramatic. Like there's just so many little pieces that are so crucial and critical into getting a technically perfect swing. And that is something that I'm really fixated on. Like I want my swing to look perfect. Where I think the really cool thing about having someone along on the journey like Mills is that she's just out there for a yarn and a good time and loves to learn along the way. But it just, like, I can get consumed with it, and having Mills by my side just brings back like the fun element of it. Not to say that it's not fun, but it can just get consuming, and it's nice to have a friend that's there with you.
That's great.
Yeah, it is honestly one of the best outlets I've ever been able to participate in golf. Like the amount of times we'll both get to the range or the course and have whatever going on. And then as soon as you start playing, you start chatting, it's just like an instant relief. And it's just,
I think it's just a sport that both talks to our souls.
Look, that sounds a bit cliche and easy, but yeah, I think it's one of those things.
Well, do you know what? I loved listening to what you were saying there, Amelia, about almost what I heard was something about like idolizing your cousin for being like really good at this thing. And I can relate to that too. There is something inherently heroic that I find about professional athletes and kind of, and your cousin, I mean, is a professional athlete, I guess, from what you're describing, right? So, but I almost wonder if like this whole dynamic of Amelia, you're seeing on the one hand that you talked about like wanting the perfect swing. I can be really guilty of this whole kind of like style over substance thing sometimes, like kind of like, oh, I want it to look, you know, but I get that. I do get where you come from, but I love the kind of the counter position almost from Mills, which is just like, you're kind of, maybe Mills, like before I make assumptions, like tell me, just let's say more then about your beginnings in golf.
So my beginnings initially, Amelia brought me in and I just immediately became obsessed. I did one good hit, I think.
Yeah, she started off like just, I'd been there spending so much money and so much time getting golf lessons, and I bring Mills out and she hits it and it goes, whoo, straight down the fairway.
And that immediately had me hooked, and straight up Amelia's gone. Amelia said to me, the golf gods this time.
Yeah, the golf gods have been good to you this time because they want to get you hooked. But next time,
yeah, just you wait.
Just you wait till they turn.
So gave me fair warning not to expect that going down the track. Yeah. And I think this was all really perfectly timed with my, I had just been fully diagnosed with ADHD, and this has been the best thing ever to come to going through all this. Like, this has been such a journey, and having Amelia here support me through all this, and like, I, yeah, it's just been so amazing to have golf as an outlet, and the community we're creating is just so cool, and we're just having so much fun.
That's so cool. Loads of questions for you on swing set sport. We'll get there in a moment. Mills, thanks for just openly sharing that about ADHD. I hadn't known that. You know, we talked once before this conversation, and it's great when people feel safe in these conversations. That's what I want this podcast to be about, is people coming on and sharing sort of vulnerable stories and feeling safe to do so. So I guess I'm very curious about ADHD as a condition, only because I see, you know, in this podcast I share quite a bit about my own mental health challenges over the years, and I talk quite a bit in for example, about how I find golf helps me with that. ADHD, I have this kind of, call it what you will, like this kind of intellectual curiosity about, just because, if I'm not mistaken, I think what's really good about the times that we live in is that especially people of, hey, allow me, I don't know how old both of you are, I'm just going to say people of our demographic, right? Just let me roll with that for a second, you know, are seemingly much more in touch with talking about health conditions, broadly speaking, feelings, and just being open about things, but exploring themselves and actually truly understanding themselves as well. So I would love to know, just kind of, you know, can you say a bit more about kind of how you came to have that kind of diagnosis, and then maybe leading to, if it's not too far-fetched as a concept, how is golf helping with that, if at all?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess leading up to it, I'd always kind of been, it had always been flagged to me that this is probably something to get tested for, and I'd been flagged as something that had, like, I should go down this route. But I just kind of came to this point where all the structures I had in place in my life, like for work and even like getting in contact with friends and staying up to date and even just like replying to a message, I just would not be able to even get any of that kind of admin, I guess, done. Yeah. And then come January, I finally, after like a very long journey, got my diagnosis, and that's exactly the time that we started playing golf.
Yeah.
And I think just that has kind of changed my whole world, figuring out why I think like I do and what. Yeah.
It's been fascinating to be on the journey with Mills, because I've also, like, I was diagnosed with ADHD like when I was in year 8, so I've had it for a long time and know all about my weird quirks that I've learned to love. And I've always been very open about it. And so I think that when Mills got the diagnosis, it was awesome to see her working out like her systems to make everything kind of just click a bit more, which was really cool. And it was awesome for both of us to be using golf as that outlet where we could like talk about it. And in a like very safe environment, I feel like when we're together on the course, it really, you just forget about the outside world a bit, don't 100%. You? Yeah. 100%. You just forget that there's like traffic and cars and everything on like the other side of the fence of the golf course. And it was just about us and this little white ball and just could have a chat.
Love it. You both said something there about kind of like how you think or kind of what the ADHD mind looks like. What can you say, but what is that? Like what is an ADHD mind? Or
yeah, you know? I have different experiences. I'll let Mill speak to hers first.
Yeah, I think the way our ADHD impacts us both is so different, but which is also so cool because it gives us this chance to we really complement each other.
Yeah.
which is so cool. Like I personally am very like I have 1,000 ideas that I all want to do at one time, like right now. I need to want to do them all right now. Yeah. And I find it hard to be able to be like, okay, this is what I'll do, which is why like historically I'd love a hobby, be obsessed with it for a couple of weeks, straight on to the next. Like I just want to do everything.
Yeah. And that's so cool to have a friend like that that wants to do everything, because she's definitely made me push past like my comfort zone, because I'm there being like, I want to be with Mills. So that's been really cool, but I'm glad that we've kind of found golf and we're sticking with golf, because I do love the sport. But I suppose from my perspective, like the way I always describe it is that the doctors describe it to my parents is like when I walk into a room, the radio dial is up to 100. Like, so I just feel what everyone else is thinking and I misplace it as my own feelings, where not like a person without ADHD would walk into a room and their radio dial's down to like 5. So they might notice it, there's a bit of like stress or anxiety in the room, but they don't take it on as their own. It's just like there in the background. But I've learned how to like not take it on board as much. But yeah, again, that I guess that comes back to golf, because you can get very frustrated and you've got to learn how to regulate your emotions on the golf course. I was laughing with Mills the other week because it was the first time that I didn't swear on the golf course because I was finally playing some good golf.
Amazing. No, just love what you've said. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think the more I do podcast episodes, this theme is coming out more and more through my guests and also actually through my own personal experiences around when you find your people in golf, right? You know, it's you play your best golf, you feel most at ease, and just that having people, being around people with shared experiences just creates this kind of like psychological safety without anything, any words even being spoken, if you know what I mean.
It's really cool. And actually from like speaking with you last time, something I've kind of realized is that my golf journey, there's always been a why, but the why has changed throughout that golf journey. Mm-hmm. Which is so cool. So I started my golf journey as a breakup hobby just to keep me busy and learn something new. And then it transitioned into wanting to get out there and play with Mills and connect with friends and build a community. And then it opened up a door into inviting like a relationship back with my dad. And it was a way to reconnect with dad. And it's changed and morphed its way throughout time. Now it's about like getting out there and asking other people, not asking, but just showing that there's like girls can pick up golf as well. It's not just a male sport and it's a lot of fun. And so the why during the journey has changed, but there's always that one consistency of getting out there on the course. And it's like, and or just hitting a ball, even if you're at simulator, that's still fun. And as long as there's
an awesome community through this, like the amount of people we've been able to speak to and just even people we speak to on the course, I finding that has been such a cool journey. And then from the start now being able to actually talk golf stuff has been so cool.
Absolutely love it. Okay, swing set sport then. You've been alluding to it here and there a little bit. Let's dive in. So what is it? Who is it for? What's it all about? How's it gone? What's the plans for the future? Tell us everything we need to know.
Well, kind of just like our golf journeys from the start, how they're ever evolving, our swing set.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah. But we've kept the same cute logo the whole way through.
It's just a fun kind of community page at the moment. We've just released a ball marker and divot tool, which we've called the Nancy after Nancy Lopez, which we thought was pretty cool because we want to give golf a fun persona because there's such a shtick about golf being this kind of vintage, like privileged kind of male sport. And so we're just trying to, yeah, get out there and have some fun.
Highlight the amazing women in the sport as well. We just think it's so, so cool to have so many amazing women in golf that we can look up to, really.
Yeah.
See all the past of how many cool things women have done in this sport and just be able to share our experiences. Yeah.
I think that's kind of our aim. But I think as well, like, we don't want to just put the spotlight on women. I think we want to make it an equal platform. Yeah, at the moment, it doesn't feel like it's super equal out there. Like, it felt very daunting for both of us to go out to, like, an hour and that's set of golf clubs even. It was just like, oh my gosh, like, how do, and I'm sure men find it, who are buying their first set, find that a bit daunting too. So, yeah. It's about making it accessible.
So before we unpack that comment more, Amelia, because I find that one really interesting and is also something that I've had cause to reflect on in the time I've been doing Golf Yourself Healthy, is I've just had to Google Nancy Lopez. Tell us more about Nancy Lopez.
Yeah, so Nancy Lopez, she's now inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think it was 1847, or I can't remember the, maybe 1947. It was on the quiz. We do a quiz, trivia quiz each week. But so Nancy Lopez is a famous golfer. She won 3 championships. And we decided to call our ball marker after Nancy because she also helped design some golf courses. And we thought that's a perfect match because our divot tool and ball marker helps keep golf courses in immaculate condition. And so we wanted something that complements, like, we wanted a personality that complements what our ball marker and divot tool does. So we decided the Nancy because it's also a cute name.
Yeah. Absolutely love it. That's super cool. So, I noticed now as well that, you know, your followership is growing big. You know, you're over 800 followers now. And in the early days, you were doing like 200 balls for 200 followers. I guess if you're trying to hit 800 balls, I mean, that's going to get really expensive and really time consuming to try and
be fostered all over.
We might have to get some friends in to help us.
Yeah, if you want to hit a few balls on our behalf, like, maybe we do a
collab. we could do it as an online event. That would be cool.
Love it. I love your thought process. I think there's mileage in that. Let's work on it. Amelia, you said something there about equality, right? So I'm really fascinated by, so for instance, right, I because both of you, I think from what I gather, work in a, you know, in a professional services corporate environment like I do for a living. And what I see there is there's a huge, rightly so, a huge focus on sort of diversity and inclusion. You know, EDI, I think, is the term we're kind of that is referred to broadly these days. And I think, I don't know about you, I almost want to sort of offer a point of view on this and see how you both feel about it, especially in this golfing context. Because what I see often when it comes to the equality side of this mix is that there can almost, I think we can run a risk sometimes of trying to literally just pull everyone into the same pool of people, and it kind of loses the nuance of the unique characteristics of that, of a certain group of people, because you can't do like a sort of there. I really don't think there's this like one size fits all approach to a golf community, for example. Now, I might be wrong, and there might be really good examples of that out there of people doing it. But what I've been so drawn to is, whether it's in kind of following swing set sport or looking around more broadly, is that I actually don't think there's anything wrong at all about having exclusive communities that are exclusive to a maybe a particular gender or a set of characteristics. And why? My take on that is because human connection will thrive where there's, going back to what we were saying before, is where there's like relatable experiences with groups of people. So, you know, just on Friday, I did a charity golf day with two other bereaved dads. I cannot even begin to express to you just how much that meant to me to actually be amongst, and maybe that sort of the ADHD thing as well that you were talking about too. So do you get what I'm trying to say about this equality piece?
Yeah, I think it is so important to create a space where people feel comfortable. And I think you do align with people that have the same kind of values and are on the same kind of journey as you. And I think definitely creating a space for women is super important in the sport. And really, I mean, promoting equality through the whole thing is such a key to everything.
Yeah. And I think it's becoming golf is now becoming a bit more trendy in today's society. I mean, in the last year, there's been about a 60% increase in young Black women picking it up, which is an awesome stat that we absolutely love. And I think, I think it's becoming a bit more vogue now.
Even seeing on the socials, amount of golf influencers and people out there posting content, female content creators for golf is just so on the rise, and it's so cool to be a part of this.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably, and I think you find this in any hobby, but I was so scared starting golf. I think it's because there is that kind of, stigma around it being like your dad's play it type of thing. But it's cool to see that society is kind of breaking that down a bit more now. And I think, I want as many people to join golf as possible because it's such a great sport. And I think everyone should have a little hit and see if they like it. But I just found it very scary to start off with.
Yeah, because I was just, again, recording another podcast conversation the other day with someone called Jordan Ryan. She's a professional golfer in she teaches. She used to play on the Ladies European Tour, but she's come out of that now and is just focusing on tuition. And I was talking to her about this notion of exactly what I was just saying about having kind of either mixing groups of men and women, for example, or having, women's only groups. And I think it really just got me to thinking about how, and going to something you just said there, Amelia, is if you consider how, whether it's females or ethnic minority groups who might look traditionally at golf and go, whoa, I don't feel comfortable there, at least in the beginnings, if you can sort of bring people together with those shared characteristics and experiences to get them comfortable and confident, maybe then in time, you have mixed tournaments and men and women are playing together and stuff. But I almost think like if you try and force a situation from the start where it's like mix everyone in together, it kind of loses the nuance, if you get what I'm trying to say. So
I agree.
Yeah. Your content, right? I think on Instagram, for example, what just really drew me to you both and just made me instantly want to bring you onto this podcast, and even as it's already just organically and naturally coming out in the way you two carry yourselves, is it's just so fun. It's just so light and breezy, and it's quite heartwarming, I would say too, right? So I guess looking at the different posts and reels and content that you put out there, have there been any particular themes or content you've done that's just been especially enjoyable and where actually you've kind of got really good authentic engagement from people?
Well, I've used it as an avenue to vlog Taylor Swift and how much I love Taylor Swift, which Mills does. Mills has nothing against Taylor Swift. She's just not a big fan. And I'm just there going, we could do a video like this. We could do a video like this. We could use this song. So I've loved doing that
so much. The Taylor Swift content we've done has been very, very fun to film.
Yeah, especially getting changed.
Yeah, getting all dressed up.
Yeah, all dressed up in the middle of the course.
Bringing out these cool towels that we're trying to get dressed underneath.
But it's all been a lot of fun, hasn't it?
It's been so fun. And we've had people send in videos of some trick shots, be like, we should try this. And the other day we were just hanging out together trying. We're like, oh, I wonder if we could do a handstand and get it. Like, just even when we're thinking about ideas, it just is such a fun time.
Yeah, and it's perfect for Mills, who gets 1,000 ideas all at once and wants to do all of them. And I'm just there like, let's write them down. Let's get them out.
I'll be somewhere just sending Amelia a voice where we're like, I think we should do this. And just going off. And then she'll come back with a beautifully noted down idea list. It's so good. We just work so beautifully.
I'm really glad you led with the Taylor Swift thing, because I had that written down in my notes. And again, just that girl Jordan I was just talking about, who I interviewed the other day, she'd literally just, like, the day before, a couple of days before, she'd just been to see Taylor Swift with her girlfriend. And I was like, can you imagine a world in which Taylor Swift played golf? Because, and here's, I've got this trivia question for you, and you two are almost definitely going to know the answer to this question, okay? So, you know how in her gig she takes out a neon golf club?
Yeah.
Do you know the song that she, was the song?
Buzzing, blank space.
Bosh, you got it. That's it. I knew you'd get it in one. Of course you would. But love that. So it kind of, I just was like, I mean, I want a neon golf club for a start. Maybe that's another collaboration between Swing Set Sport and Golf Yourself Healthy. Like, kind of bring we have to be careful, right? Because she's got dibs on that, Taylor Swift. If anyone's going to release a line of merch, it'd probably be her first. We need to watch the copyright there. But
maybe, like, she want to join the collab.
Right, exactly. I think if we can collab together somehow and drive this movement, which is to get Taylor Swift into golf, because what is that all about? Like, there's got to be something there in terms of using a neon golf club, because I don't think she is a golfer.
No, she's not a golfer. So it comes from the blank space video where she's like angry at her ex. So she's smashing his car up with the golf club. So that's where it comes from.
Right.
Yeah. But
I see.
Show her how to put that golf club to use. Like, in the real way.
There we go. Taylor Swift, if you're watching and listening, we've got you. We've got the golf introductory session for you lined up for you. So
come and play golf.
Come join us.
What is the Swift effect, though? Like, honestly, it's really, because she's on tour at the moment. Like, again, my wife works in Cardiff City Centre, and just she was describing some of, like, the madness that was going on in the city around people queuing overnight to get into the stadium and stuff like that. So what I mean, Mills, it sounds like you're a bit more kind of not lukewarm on Swifty, but you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm it's whatever. But Amelia, what's it all about? What does the Swift effect mean?
Such a loaded question. For me, I guess, to tie it back to golf, golf means something special to me. It's connecting me to how I feel and everything. And I think Taylor Swift's music does it in the same way for me. Like, it opens up my emotions and I go into this whole new world of, like, Amelia Land, essentially, and everything feels like it fits, and that's just what it is for me. And then there's a really good tune and I love dancing, so there's that on top. Yeah, that's what it is for me. I actually had to look up the other day, because obviously Taylor she's released her new album, and I worked out that I had listened to 40 hours of it within the 3 months that it was released. Yeah,
which is amazing.
Yeah,
I think we're probably doing another Swifty crossover.
Yeah, don't worry, I've got them ready.
No, but you know, I didn't mean it to come across as any form of loaded question, because out of genuine curiosity, I was just like, you know, I find it so fascinating when someone, you know, of that profile and just the engagement and the followership, like, you know, just what is it? Like, I've never asked that question to someone who's a really big fan, and I can also really get on board with, like, for me, what music does for me, for example, is it moves me. And I again, in the time that I've been doing Golf Yourself Healthy, I just get to thinking about, you know, if I had, like, you know, what's the music to my, what's the soundtrack to my golf kind of thing, you know, like, so what's the soundtrack to your golf, actually? Like, that's, if you had a song that...
I had a lot. Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think it changes, to be honest. But I don't think it would be like a fun pop vibe. but I still think it would have like a good rhythm and a beat to it. Like something like, I'm not sure if you've heard of like Parcels. Like, we love be like Parcels, yeah. Which is like funk / jazz.
100%. Yeah.
Have I heard of Parcels? Love Parcels.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. They're Aussies. So we love Parcels.
So this is a shout out to Parcels now, because for the Golf Yourself Healthy listeners, if you're not familiar, how I came to be familiar with Parcels was about, I was living in London at the time, and it must have been, I don't know, say 5 or 6 years ago or something. And I absolutely love Daft Punk. Okay. Yeah. Obsessed with them. And I just was like Googling Daft Punk and are they ever going to tour again? And basically it seems to be fairly commonly regarded that Daft Punk are done. Those guys are like, you know, they toured for the last time, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, a good number of years ago. But they apparently picked up on Parcels and like approached Parcels and said, because they loved their sound and everything, and said, do you want to come to our studios? And I think it was in France, because they're French, Daft Punk. And then there's real Daft Punk vibes in Parcels. Like you hear some of the synth and so anyway, my wife and I came to know of them, and I've been to see them once. She's been seeing them twice in London. They're super good. So I'm gonna have to go back and listen now and think, if there was a Parcels song.
I think for me it would be
Game of Luck.
Yeah.
Game of Luck. Yeah.
Good choice.
I don't need to back that up.
Done. That one's done. Good. There's a really funny, like one of my favorite reels that you've both done is the one where I think it's Amelia. You're kind of like all within the space of like minutes. You're kind of like love golf, hate golf.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so I just kind of want to spend a few minutes then kind of unpacking this, right? So both of you, because for me, Golf Yourself Healthy, the core theme and belief here is all about golf being good for you. So in your own words then, why do you love golf so much? What's so great about golf for you? And then we'll do the bit about what ain't so cool about golf. What's the stuff that grinds your gears about golf?
Well, I think the background to that video is, I don't know if you've seen that viral trend that was like, hi, my name's so-and-so and this is my first drink of the night. And then it goes on, you see them getting like more and more progressively sloppy as the night goes on. So I think they'd mainly do it at weddings. So I took that and thought, okay, well, we have to play a series of different holes. So I want to show my emotions through each hole that I play in this game of golf. And I did it with my mum's partner, who I actually just got him into golf, and he's addicted to golf now as well. So shout out to Rod. But yeah, so I think for me, the thing I love about golf, again, it comes back to that being like wanting to be technically perfect, which I don't think you can ever really achieve, which is another reason why you've got to get that, you get that itch with golf. But I love when I've executed something and the shot is just beautiful and the ball flies down the fairway just exactly how I imagined it in my head, and that is rare, but it's those moments like that that just keep you in the game. And then I love the learning the technicalities, like where your weight should be and your stance, how your grip should be, should it be a strong or a weak grip, and like the loft on the club when you doing your backswing. There's just so many different aspects, and then it's cool to be able to share that with Mills as well. And I feel like it makes me a better golfer because I can see what Mills is doing wrong and I can understand where I was going wrong as well, and then teach Mills and learn myself as well.
Yeah, and it's so cool with that, you teaching me side of things. It's Amelia has the best way of communicating with me, because we again both learn so differently, and like I'm technicalities just kind of, I don't know, I'm just so excited to hit the ball, and then Amelia will be like, oh, you should be feeling this, and it's more about how I'm feeling, yeah, instead of how
the last one I was describing, and it sounded so weird when it came out of my mouth. I was like, you've got to keep your head still, but it's not a passive still, it's an active still. Like, you actively have to keep it still.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I, like, held Mills
and grabbed like my hand and was like...
And then Mills was like, oh, my God, I get it. And then just continued to hit beautiful shots. It's, like, it's so such a weird thing. Like,
Yeah, no, that's really, really, really cool thing to see. I think a really cool thing to feel as well.
Makes our friendship blossom as well, because I'm getting her and she's getting me and we're getting good shots.
Yes.
Love it. So just that sound, playing that back, you've got golf's good for you both because, like, self-improvement on the one hand, Amelia, the feels that you get from it, and then the companionship too, sounds like, right?
Yeah.
So.
And the companionship is really cool.
Yeah,
I love it so much. It's so nice. And also having this sport, actually sticking to this sport, has also made me feel so stoked. And I feel like I've just learned so much, even like about myself through this sport as well. And the way we communicate with each other has seriously massively changed in the last 6 months.
Yeah, and we can also like deal with each other when, like you say, for instance, we were once trying to record a video on the course and it was like play a hole with us, and I just did not play it well, and halfway through recording it I just went, Mills, turn the cameras off now. Like, was just, I was so grumpy, did not want a bar of it. I get that comes back to my video being like, I hate golf, and then next minute you love it. But yeah, and Mills was just like, yep, cool, got it. I just knew that I had to be so in my down, little like bubble for a bit until I hit a good shot, and then she celebrated me so loudly on the course, and that was back to being happy as a Larry.
Yeah, we have a really cool way of building each other up, I think, and celebrating each other's wins, like on the course and off the course. And every time one of us does a great shot, we're the first to be like, oh my gosh, that was so good, and pointing out what we've each done right, and we're jumping up and down.
Telling her that it's just the golf course and it's not actually
humbling me straight away, but
jealous.
But I could just totally relate to this, like the grumpiness you were describing, Amelia, because like This is the ugly side to being a content creator in the golf influencing space, isn't it? Because like I'm all about like, oh, golf's so good for you and stuff. And it's like, I tell you, recording yourself out in a golf course for the sake of content is one of the most stress-inducing things. Yeah. I'm like, I'm here to enjoy this. I'm not here to like, I need to hit a perfect one now. But I do appreciate it then when you see people, content creators, golf content creators, influencers, just being like, yeah, here's me absolutely duffing one, or you know, because that's real.
Now you've backed me into a dark corner, Chris, because now Mills is going to want to post the video of me telling me to turn off the video.
It's very funny. It just ended up then into going into this little vlog of me talking about my day.
It was just that to like change tracks.
I look forward to seeing that reel when you release it then. So I'm also quite big on nostalgia. I love, you know, we've talked a lot about feels in this conversation, and a segment I have, which is, I like to call it Golf Yourself Nostalgic, and it's trying to, you know, get my guests to kind of talk about, you know, is there a particular golfing memory that really sticks in your mind, which makes you kind of feel warm and fuzzy inside. So is there any one particular golfing memory that you've both created together that you just love to look back on?
I think the day we decided on Swing Set Sport.
Yeah, that was pretty big.
That was like very early on in Mills.
I think I played golf twice.
Yeah. And I was like, yep, this is, let's become influencers.
Yeah, but that was the day that Mills just like hit every ball just beautifully. Like, just was stunning to watch. I was like, you don't know anything about golf. How is this happening? But it was awesome to see as well, because it meant that I had a buddy that was going to be on board. So that was a really special day. And then,
another thing that I thought was so cool. So probably, I think it was the last game we played together.
At Wakehurst,
And Amelia had been focusing on these certain things in her classes, and then just you could see from the second hole, it just all clicked. And
Sorry. That was what mine was going to be. It was just, that was like, so I was on such a high that day. Like, it's just like, I remembered every detail I'd been practicing. And like, I think it was on like the third hole, and that was a big kind of river, and the ball just went shoom, straight over it. And to me, I was like, it's going to go in. Like, there's no way. And Mills is just there going, whoa. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I understand golf. I get it. I get golf. Finally,
we're both just cheering on the course.
Yeah, and I was just so happy.
That's so cool. It sounds like Mills, like, I experience this, like, playing poker, for example. Poker is one of these games where, like, people just walk into it having never played it before and they get all the best hands and it's like beginner's luck, as they call it, or whatever. But it's like, that's seriously cool. Like you, Amelia, I'm a little bit jealous and irritated even hearing that you managed to just walk on there and just, like, hitting them pure and straight.
Yeah.
What's the secret?
What's the secret? 6-iron or a 9-iron. Did not know the difference in clubs. Just would hit what you felt and it would just go straight onto the green.
Yeah, just vibe out what I felt was a good club. And me, he's like, maybe, I guess. Yeah, I think I think I've just been very lucky to have you be able to teach me so much along the way that it's just been quite a kind of natural progression for me. And I feel very lucky that Amelia's able to teach me in a way that works for me. And so I think seeing all the little tiny improvements that I'm making along the way is so cool. But then also, like, at the same time, I'll completely forget to look at the ball and I'm already excited about where it might be.
I think that's probably the key for Mills, which is a really nice, like, it's a breath of fresh air, is that she's just so excited to hit the ball. So there's not like that. You don't really get into your head too much. There are times where you do.
Yeah.
But sure. It's like not that. It's not like me where you can just see every cog ticking, trying to remember everything. And then I'll be driving home after playing the game of golf and I'll be like, damn it, I forgot to do this, like, I've got to go back. But yeah, it's really nice to play with someone like Mills, who's just, like, excited and keeps it lighthearted and fun.
Love it. I think in part of the story you were telling there, you may have actually just ticked off my kind of last main segment that I wanted to cover with you. And I like to call this one, the eagle has landed. It's like a mission accomplished moment. It's like, I did it. I made a par, I made a birdie, or I hit this amazing shot or whatever. So what are your stories? What are your eagle has landed moments, Mills and Amir?
And then maybe you can tell mine. Mills's is, so we play at Avalon Golf Course, which is a small little 9-hole golf course up in the Northern Beaches, and it's beautiful. And the third hole is, again, it's so you at the tee box and you've got to hit it over, it's a par 3, and you've got to hit it over this big kind of water feature. And it's Mills's favorite part, but it's also the part where we lose the most balls. Like, we could lose a ridiculous amount of balls at that, but it's Mills's favorite part. And if she gets it over first go, she is buzzing.
Oh my god, honestly, it's the best. I'm going through the first and the second hole, I'm just buzzing for this water feature. And when they've got this little water bit that comes up in the middle and clearing that, oh my god. And then you know you're on for a great game.
That's definitely I remember the first time Mills got it first go and just her jaw just dropped. It's like, I can't believe I just did that. Like, what happened?
I dropped my club. I'm going.
Love that.
It was, oh my god, so, so fun. But yeah, I think, yeah, definitely.
What do you think mine is? Gosh,
what would be your number one?
I think it was probably making my first par.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which was the first time we played Avalon, and we played it with some of Mills' friends.
Yeah.
It was the day I realized that I'm better at my short game than my tee shots. And that was, I was really happy with that. And then I made par and I was like, I might be able to do this golf thing, but to this day, I'm still working on consistently making a par. Yeah, that was probably
so good. Yeah, I remember seeing your I forget the name of the shot, land onto
the chip shot.
Oh yeah. My god, I was standing behind Amelia just like, yes! And then we're counting down, we're like, it's only 2 more to par. And oh my god, it was so exciting. And then we got this photo with the pin. Oh, so good.
Amazing. This is probably one of my favorite ones, favorite segments in this show, because it's just, I love hearing stories. We're all about storytelling as well. And it's just, I can just imagine, you know, I have to admit, like your story, Mills, like I love it. I can just imagine the energy and everything. But yeah, it's like, for me, it's one of those, and I'm going to, next time I play a shot like that, a par three or something that's over water, I'm going to try and channel your energy with that, because normally I look at that, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like that mental thing of like, don't put it in the water, don't put it in the water, like it's trepidation, you know. But if it's just like, it's that positive visualization of, I'm going to knock it on the green, and when I do, this place is going to go wild, you know, I'm going to feel great, you know. So
yeah,
so cool.
Rockstar name. So. Yeah. Turning back to look at the fans.
Yeah, the adoring fans, absolutely right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, yeah. Amelia, you're Mills' biggest fan for sure. But no, seriously, like I just honestly, the energy between and just the, it's such a love. I've really loved this conversation, because like I can just see and hear and feel the kind of divide between you both, and the companionship and friendship thing. So, well, never change, please. Yeah. And thank you for such a lovely conversation. Thank you both.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. Awesome. This has been such a fun time.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and feel inspired to go out there and continue to golf yourself healthy. Remember, if you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to follow the show on your preferred podcast platform, and maybe also leave us a 5-star review wherever you feel it's merited. Also, you can head over to golfyourselfhealthy.com, where by filling in your contact details in the contact tab, you can sign up for future newsletters and updates. Until the next time, remember to always embrace the rough and forever cherish the fairway.